Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Truth Therapy. My name is Ingrid and I am your host. Hey y'all, oh my gosh, I know y'all, it's been a couple of weeks since I released my last episode, and honestly, I can say that this, y'all, I don't know what it is about this podcast. I have literally been in a fight to come and record. I have made efforts. Y'all, if I would tell y'all how many times I tried to record and something always comes up, I don't have something, or it's always something coming up. But I'm like, whatever, okay? I'm just going to record this. I'm going to release it. Even if it's not on a Monday, like, I really need to release something. And truth be told, like, I actually had something that I wanted to talk to you guys about. Like, I had a topic. I had notes. I had everything. I was prepared. Like, this was not gonna be like one of those episodes where I'm just like, I don't know what I'm about to talk about, like, it's just off, you know, the top of my head, or I really had notes, like, I really studied the night that I really was gonna record, y'all. I studied, I had my notes, and I don't know what happened, but it did not happen. So, but hey, we are here, and I am ready to, like, talk about God. I'm ready to talk about what I've been learning, what I like, the way that God has really been reconstructing my mind, and just honestly changing my mindset, changing my perspective. I'm able to see things differently now because of the understanding that he's been placing inside of me, the knowledge, the wisdom. Like, it's crazy. And to say all of that, and to also say that I am in a really, like, crazy season right now, because I want to say it's a little bit of transition, it's a little bit of unlearning. It's a humbling season. Like, a lot of the way that my life looks now, it does not look like what I thought it would have looked this year, especially. And I'm just like, honestly, like, I reached a point in, you know, this year, I'm like, God, it don't look like what you said. Like, all the promises, all the prophecies, all the word that I have received, God, and everything that you have promised me that would happen in my life, I don't see it. Like, my life don't look like what you say. My life does not look like what I'm sure it's gonna be, but it don't look like what you're saying, God. And I had to really talk to God about that, because how do I keep hope in a season where I'm literally, like, losing everything that I know, everything that I have found comfortability in, I am losing. And so I'm just like, okay, God, like, you're gonna have to break this down for me, or you're gonna have to help me to, like, God, you're going to have to help me out with this one, because I need hope. I need to not, like, I don't want to run because it looks crazy right now. I don't want to run like I normally do. So in this season, I've really learned to basically, like, hone in more on God and try to understand how he thinks, even though we could never really understand the fullness of his thoughts and why he does certain things the way that he does it. But it's like, okay, God, let me in. Like, help me to understand how to hold on to you, how to hold on to your promises in a season where it does not look like the promises are near. It doesn't look like the promises are coming to pass. I need you to help me. And I've been reading. I've been seeking God. I've been watching sermons. I've really been trying to hold on to faith in the word too, because trying to hold on to faith, trying to hold on to hope, and you are not continuously like reminding yourself of the word, or you're not, you know, renewing your mind with the word, it kind of becomes redundant. Because what are you really standing on? Like, what is sustaining your walk with God? And so I had to turn to resources that I felt like, okay, God, if I need to know more about you, maybe I need to know more about your names. Maybe I need to know about the God that you are, the Father that you are, the provider that you are, and the fact that you do use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and to know that you don't make sense. Sometimes you're not going to make sense to me. And so just really grasping that concept and knowing that even though it don't look like what you said, the way that I thought it was going to work out is not the way that you work. Your word says that your thoughts are not my thoughts and your ways are not my ways. So I need to stand firm in the fact that I am not going to understand what you're doing, but to know that because you are the God of the beginning, because you are the God of the end, because you are the author and the finisher of my faith, I had to come to a place in this whole thing of where I am in this season to understand that it's already done. So how do I stand firm on that, even though everything around me, it looks like a storm? It looks crazy, literally. And I remember I talked to you guys about Job and how I really felt like I was in my Job season. And it's so funny because in that episode, it had just started. After I did that episode, yeah, like, know that I lost even more. And I'm like, wow, I really feel like Job for real. I really feel like, God, why is this all happening to me at once? Why does this need to happen? What did I do for it to happen? Is this my humbling season? What did I do to deserve this? Like, I really feel like Job. But instead of doing the same thing that I do when I just be like, okay, God, I ain't gonna lie, it's getting hard, it's getting difficult, I don't like where I'm at right now, so I'm gonna just take a walk, I'm gonna take a hike, and I'll be back. No, like, this time I'm like, okay, I really have to stand in the pain. I can't fold. And know that I've had the days where I've cried myself to sleep, just not understanding what's going on. Literally, can you imagine you see everyone around you winning and then you're losing at the same time? But cheering everybody on with a genuine heart because you're happy for everyone, but at the same time, it's like when you are alone, you're like, oh my gosh, like, God, like, what about me? What about me? Like, what happened? Like, what did I had to do something, because right now you're working in a supernatural way. You're working, you have opened the heavens, literally. Like, I have watched God do the impossible. So I'm like, how the heck is this happening to me? So I really want to talk about being in a place where you're looking around and it doesn't look like the promise. And y'all, I've been reading this book. It's called Upon Awakening by Jackie Hill Perry. Y'all, it is so good. Like, I have ran through different devotional books, but this devotional book is so different. It literally, once you start reading it, she tells you that it's a book that makes you hunger for God more. Like, it leads you to God, or it leads you to the word. And I really feel like it literally be like 2-3 pages of devotionals, and that's it. No prompt, no nothing. And I've been finding myself writing every time I read it. And I remember I stumbled upon, I don't remember what week it was, but it was talking about struggle, and it was talking about when Jesus was on a cross and he was like telling God, like, why have you forsaken me? And then it was another part where David said the same exact thing, and how she broke it down was like, what? I think that was the first time that I learned personally that David and Jesus, they shared in the same pain. And when I say that, it's like they were suffering to the point where they felt like God wasn't with them, right? But in the case of Jesus, the way that he felt was basically a reflection of how we feel when we are in sin, and when we are separated from God because of our sin. So for him, it was the human part of him feeling that, but it wasn't the God part that felt that, because he was also fully God. So the fact that him and David said the same exact thing, they felt the same exact way, and the way that she expounded upon it was that, you know, Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? David said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And after saying that statement, he's like, but he reminds God who he is. So it's like, even in our suffering, even in our struggles, even in our downfalls, even in the toughest seasons, we need to be in a place where we remind ourselves of who God is. And I honestly, that's really what's been keeping me seriously, because if I really just stay on the fact that of what I don't have, what I've lost, how crazy my season looks, I would literally lose my mind. But really trying to understand why, you know, sometimes things may not look like it, and sometimes our struggles may rob us of the truth. The season that we in that seems so hard and it seems so difficult, it robs us of the truth of who God is. But we must understand that even though our circumstances change, even though those things change, God never changes. So like, who he is and who he is in his character, it never changes. But how do we not allow our circumstances to define who God is, even though what he has said right now, it doesn't look like it? How do we hold on to who God is? And how do we hold on to his promises, even when it feels like it won't come to pass? So again, David and Jesus shared the same kind of suffering, a suffering that caused them to deny God was there even for a second. My God, why have you forsaken me? And then David says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Although our suffering may offer
its own reality, the true nature of God and the truth of God never fades, no matter what is going on around us. It's a false reality that can rob us of joy offered in our suffering. What is the truth? God doesn't leave nor forsake us. We also have to look at what is our suffering offering without us realizing that it's robbing us of God. Just because it doesn't look like what God has said it will be right now doesn't mean it's not already happening.
Oh my gosh, like, to know that there's a world beyond what we can see is also the key to knowing that because it doesn't look like it physically does not mean that in the spiritual realm it's not being done. Y'all, when I was going through this, I was like, wow. One thing you guys will learn about me is I always go back to Genesis. And people be like, oh my gosh, like, you always in there. But the word helps me to understand what God did in the beginning. So I could be in another book that's not Genesis, but because of what I read, I go back to the beginning, because some way, somehow, it's as if the word literally, I don't know if interchangeable is the same, it's the right word, but it really goes hand in hand. You can't really understand the Bible, or you can't really understand God without the beginning. You can't understand the end without the beginning. You can't understand the middle without the beginning. And that is a personal understanding that I've come to for myself. Like, that's just how I learn. So I'm like, okay, there is a world outside of the physical, right? When God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so y'all are going to have to hold on. Y'all gonna have to follow with me, right? So I remember I was reading Genesis one time, and I also heard a teaching. But when in my quiet time with God, I got more revelation about this. But in Genesis 1, everything that God spoke, it did not physically manifest yet. He spoke a thing, but it did not come on earth. And the evidence of that is when you go to Genesis 2, it says that when he created the heavens and the earth, the plants, the earth did not yield the plants because he did not cause it to rain. And I want to go and read it exactly to y'all. So if you go to Genesis 2, it says in verse 4, it says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. But a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So I don't want to go too deep into this because I could really go on and on. And for the sake of time, I have learned that before something comes into the natural, it's already in the spiritual realm, right? So when God spoke and he created, picture God being in the lab and he's saying, okay, I am going to create the heavens and the earth. He says, "Let there be light," and there was light. Imagine everything that he's saying in Genesis 1. He's speaking it, and then he rests from his work. And after, it talks about the life of what he created, right? So he created the man and the woman. in the image, in this image of God, in the likeness of God, right? And in Genesis 2 is when man becomes a living being. How does he become a living being? He forms from the ground the man, and then he breathes his breath into his nostrils, and then he became a living being. So, same thing with the plant, right? The herbs, the grass. Before they became into being, God had to cause a mist to water the ground so that the plants could yield fruit. For it to have happened, he had to cause it to physically rain upon the earth so that the plants would yield, right? And to come up. So, I know, like, because I'm kind of breezing through that part, and maybe I can expound more better, because I do have like a map of how I am going to break this down. But when God speaks a thing, it doesn't come back to him void. It doesn't travel back to him. So what are we doing in the in-between time of it manifesting to come to life? This comes from the fact that when God speaks a thing, his word goes forth. We are not able to see the word physically, but the word is already traveling to come into life, right? And when God's word goes forth, it does not come back to him void. He doesn't say, oh, yeah, let me get my word back. No, I don't want light to come into being no more. I don't want man to come into being. I don't want animals no more. I don't want the moon. I don't want the sun. I don't want the ground to produce fruit. No, I don't want none of those no more. So let me call my word back to me. No, once he sends out his word does not return to him void. When God speaks his promises upon us and he reveals those things to us, we have to literally hold on to the fact that he's not going to take his promise back. So God, if you said that I'm going to be this, and if God, you said that you're going to provide this or that, that means that your word has already gone forth and it will be faithful to perform.
So what are we doing in the in-between time of it manifesting and coming to life? Are we speaking life to it, or are we hindering it from coming forth?
Now, he already created it in a space that we're not able to see it, and it's already done. But what are we doing in the in-between time of it manifesting? Are we speaking life to it, or are we speaking death to it? Are we sending our doubt towards it, or are we sending our faith towards it? Are we keeping hope, or are our heart becoming sick because our hope is deferred? So that's something I'm just like, wow, God, like, because I understand now that you've already created it and it's already done, which means it does prove that God, you are the beginning and the end. He is also in the middle, but he is the God of the beginning and end. He was already at the beginning. He's already at the end. He already knows how it's going to end. But what are we doing? Because we are bounded by time, and in the space that we're in, we have boundaries. So God, just like God doesn't come in and invade our space if we don't allow him to, his word does not have boundaries, but we are bound by time and the restriction of time. So we can either hinder the word, or we can help the word come alive. When I say help, you're not making the word come alive, because it's already alive. But once you come into agreement with something, it has no reason to not, you know, align with you. So that is one thing I had to learn. I'm like, that is so good, God. It's like, are we nurturing the word and preparing ourselves for when, not if? If we have doubt, I don't think that we understand the magnitude of what doubt can do to what is meant for us. It's as if you're telling God, you're a liar, your word is a lie, and it's like, okay, now you have given the enemy authority to intercept what is for you in the meantime. And just like how Daniel, when he fasted, he was fasting, but the angel had to fight with the principality in order for him to bring the word to Daniel. So it's like, are we inviting the enemy into what God has already said concerning us? And that's something that we really have to think about and be careful about, because the word does say that there's life and death in our tongue. Another thing, like from reading Genesis, is after God created, he saw that it was good. He saw. So when God created the heavens and the earth and everything thereof, he saw that it was good. What God has for us is good. It's not for evil. It's not to destroy us. It's not to do any of those things. But to know that whatever God has planned out for our lives, when he planned it for us, it was good to him. So God saw. So this brings us to us, right? What do we see and how do we see? Because if God saw that it was good, and when it came into the earth, the only way that it was contaminated was through our sin. When Adam and Eve ate the fruit, he told them what fruits to eat. He told them what fruits not to eat. But because of their eye and what they saw differently than God. God sees beyond the physical. God is not bound by the physical eye. He's not bound by how things look on the earth. And so it goes to the same thing when he warns us of destruction. We may run into something that looks so good. We may run into a person that, man, they look like they will never harm me. They look like they're good for me. And it's like, are you seeing through your fleshly eyes, or are you seeing through the physical? And in the day that sin abounded, the way that we saw was different. That day, we were bounded by our physical sight. I want to go into what I have learned from me just studying this time in Genesis. When Adam and Eve was in the garden, right? They were with God. They communed with God and they saw with God. And when I say this, they were able to see what God saw. They had access to the spiritual realm in a more profound way that we do now. Once sin entered, once they ate of the fruit, their sight was contaminated. So that says a lot about how we see now, right? We are bounded by sin. We're bounded by the physical eye because when sin abounded in us, our spiritual eye, it's as if it closed. It's as if we kind of deactivated the spiritual sight. And so when we come into Christ, when we come into God, we are able to access that part of us. We're able to see what God sees sometimes. We're able to enter the realm where God is, right? And so faith is a commune with God because we escape a bound reality to one that has no bounds. We enter the place. We partner with God in something that has not entered the earth yet, but already exists in a realm where God is, and he sees that it is good. If we allow God to be God, if we trust in God, if we have faith in God, if we have hope in God, we partner up with what he sees is good. We partner up with him to know that, God, if you speak a thing, the thing is already done. If you speak a thing, you're faithful to complete it. If you speak a thing, you spoke it because you wanted it to come to pass. I remember I read a book. It's called Call to Create. And one thing that I got from the book was when he said to trust, hustle, and rest. And that reminds me. So the trust part is trusting who God is, trusting what God can do. And I don't know if I want to use the word hustle, but doing our part. And when I say doing our part, it reminds me of what James said when he said, faith without works is dead. So we can have the faith, but if we don't do nothing, partnering up with the faith, it's dead. Because we become the evidence that faith is real. Even though faith is the substance of things not seen but hoped for, we are the evidence, whether to other people, that faith, once you have faith and you put the works behind it, it can come to pass if it's God's will, right? So faith without works is dead. And then resting and knowing that God is faithful to complete it. When God created the heavens and earth, he did it for 6 days and he rested. Now, this backs up the fact that when we trust God, when we put the work behind, once we trust God and we have faith in God and we put the work behind what we believe God to do, or what we believe that God is promising us, we can rest in the fact that he is faithful to complete what he has said. That he is the one that's going to bring the increase. I just want to expound on this, right? God was in a realm where he saw. He hadn't manifested yet what he created physically on this earth. But it was so according to the end of Genesis. It was so, but it had not grown on the earth. It's not until he brought a mist upon the ground for it to grow did it come forth. He sent water to water the ground first. Then he formed a man from the ground in order to cultivate it. It was not yet rain or people to cultivate the soil. His breath was the life to what came from the ground. We already spoke about this. But something that caught my eye when I read this was that he said it was not yet rain or people to cultivate the soil. I looked up the word cultivate and it says to till. To labor, and to till means to labor, work, or do work. Remember I said that God is the one that brings the increase. When I was studying, it reminded me of when Paul said that it's not really important who does the planting or watering, but it is important that God makes the seed grow. Now, when I read that there was no man to cultivate the ground, now it ran through my mind. I'm like, okay, cultivate the ground. What is the ground? We are the ground, right? Ultimately, in other contexts, we are the ground. What are we doing? Again, going back to what are we doing in the middle, right? What are we doing in between time of the word, it was already created, and the word, it's already done? We just can't see it. So it's like, what are we doing to prepare ourselves? How are we cultivating ourselves? How are we preparing ourselves for the seed, for the word that God has already spoken over our lives, or for the plans, because before we were in our mother's womb, he predestined us. He knew us. He knew the plans that he had for us. It was not to harm us.
God is bringing the increase, right? And the word is ready to grow and come to life. But is the ground good enough to produce? So when we're asking God, God, you said this, but why hasn't it come to pass? God, you said this. You promised me this. You said that this was going to happen. And it's like, it's going to happen. But are we good ground to receive the word? Are we good ground for the word to grow? Because now the word goes forth. We hear the word. We believe the word. We have faith. We do the work and we rest in patience to wait on the harvest. And the end result is that it's already done. So all of this to say, y'all, this was straight teaching. All that is to say that what we're waiting on and what we're trusting God for, what we're hoping God to do, it is already done. It's already done in a realm that we can't see, but we need to do our part here on this earth to make sure that we are ready for what God has already spoken over our lives, and to know that even though adversity, and even though we may suffer, and even though we may stumble, even though we may fall, even though we may hinder the word, if we would just prepare ourselves, if we would just stop beating ourselves up because of what we've done before, we would know that God is gonna, he's already did his part, to be honest. His part is already done. And all we have to do is our part, because the word is going to come forth. But it's up to us whether we're gonna hinder the word or whether we're gonna nurture the word and to be faithful in preparing ourselves for it. So y'all, that was just something that I really, really wanted to share and to encourage somebody that is going through a tough season like I am. Because to be honest, I'm speaking like this and I'm able to teach what I'm learning. But I also know that there are hard days. There are times where I'm just like, oh my gosh. But this has really brought me, this has really reconstructed my mind to knowing that what I'm praying for, it will come to pass, but I just need to do my part in doing the work, in doing and making sure that I am good soil, that when, if somebody prophesies something to me, I become good ground to soak it in, and then become a ground that produces what the word has already sent forth to do. So I just hope that this encourages somebody. I hope that y'all understood. And even I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, trying to learn more about God and be in his presence and just ask him the questions that I need to ask. Because if I don't hold on to God, I can't hold on to his promises. If I don't hold on to what he has said before, I can't hold on to his word. And so, y'all, I just want to tell y'all to please stay encouraged. Do not look at what you see physically with your eye, because there, God is already working. He's already worked things out for our good. He's already sent forth good things our way, but it's up to us on how we're going to steward what hasn't come down yet. But we have to act as if the word is coming. We can't allow the enemy to basically play in our head to be like, oh my God, no, God, yeah, he said that, but do you see it? Like, don't you see your life right now? Don't you see you're in a storm? Don't you see that it looks crazy right now? And it's just like, no, like, I know what my God say. And even though it don't look like it right now, even though
depression trying to have me. And even though a dark place, I feel like I'm in a dark place right now, I know that at some point God is going to come and rescue me. And that God is going to free me from this, because he has promised me his peace. He has promised me his joy. He has promised me his love. And he has also promised that he would not leave nor forsake me. So I just want to leave y'all with that. And I just pray that God would speak to your heart, God, and you would be open to the revelation of what God wants to say to you through his word too. Because more and more each day when I'm getting in my word, I'm learning how much the word is alive. And when he says that, when, you know, it is said that the word is alive, it's a true thing, because once you spend more time with God in his word, he literally opens up the word for you. He gives you revelation. And some people might not understand the revelation that he has given you, but it's because they don't have a relationship with God like you have a relationship with him. So not only do I want to say to make sure that you're doing the work and you're having faith and you're keeping hope and you're believing that whatever God has said concerning you is real, I'm also telling you to hone in more on your relationship too with God. Because if you don't hold, again, I'm saying this again, but it's so important. You have to hold on to God. You have to hold on to his character. You have to hold on to the fact that whatever you're going through, it does not change who God is at all. Your circumstances may change. The things around you may look different, but God doesn't. He does not change who he is. He does not change in character. He does not change in his facets. He does not change because of what's going on. You know, he doesn't change when the world changes. So I just want to pray. I just want to pray with y'all. I want to pray for us that God will open our eyes to see more in the spiritual realm, that we are able to see beyond what the physical is telling us, the story that we are receiving through the physical, but that God will open our eyes to see what he sees. And I just leave you guys with that one. And I will talk to you guys on our next episode. I am going to try, y'all, my best to be more consistent and to not allow the enemy to beat me down or to distract me. So y'all pray for your girl. And I'll talk to you guys on the next episode.